Double fries, no slaw. Richie, it's the biggest week of the year, at least this year. Clemson week. We finally made it, and we've got a lot to talk about here. Big game coming up on Saturday at high noon. Wait, that don't pay us. Right at noon Eastern. between the Noles and the Tigers. Thank you, everybody that's tuned in watching. If you're watching this live or on the replay, we certainly do appreciate it. If you're watching on the replay, we do this every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Come join us live. We have a good time. We try to get to some of your comments, try to get to some of your super chats, try to interact with you as much as we can in between the shenanigans that Richie and I have going on. But Richie, we've gotten a few days away from that Boston College game. I've watched it again. We don't have to go deep into it or anything like that. That's what she said. But I feel better. I don't even feel as bad as I did on Sunday about it. I think I'm not worried at all. Like, I don't worry about any kind of carryover. But anyway, we can talk about that in a minute. How's your week been?
Good, man. Busy at work. I've watched that Boston College game about 4 or 5 times now, honestly, because it was haunting me Saturday night when I went to bed. Well, really Sunday morning after that Colorado game. And it was just a bunch of tomfoolery that went on that I'm not overly concerned about. If you do that 2 games in a row, that becomes worrisome, and it's more than just a loss to Clemson, because you will lose to Clemson if you play like that again. I just don't see it happening. You know, so many weird things happened. It is what it is. We'll see what happens. But, you know, here we are Wednesday night, you know, Thursday morning, if you're listening to this on the podcast format. I feel pretty good about where Florida State stands, but we'll get into it and break it down a lot deeper here in the next 45 minutes or so.
Double fries, no slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations, 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. We will be doing a tailgate for those of you that are going to brave the early morning kickoff. We'll have some Bloody Marys and fried chicken out there. Perfect way to start your game day. Maybe a few of these tall boys as well. So get out there to the tailgate with us. I think there's like 40 tickets left. So not very many tickets left. I try to tell you guys they would go quickly. I'm not going to be able to sneak people in. It is very crowded there at Clemson. So go get those in the description if you haven't already. Appreciate Guthrie's. There's a Guthrie's in Hartwell, Georgia. So it's about 30 minutes away, and we will be getting chicken from them. All right, Richie, let's get after it. Let's get into it. Florida State, a 1.5 or 2.5 point favorite based on the book or where you're looking or where DraftKings, I think, is 2.5. Bovada's like 1.5. We're kind of all over here, but a consensus favorite everywhere up in Death Valley. I don't know that I expected that going into the season, and it might have more to do with the way that Clemson has played as opposed to how Florida State has played, although I'm sure the LSU game factors in a little bit. But first impressions of this Clemson team.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really pull anything from what this Clemson team is right now, right? We know, we all saw the score from the Duke game, right? The 20-7. Oh man, they got manhandled by Duke. But if you actually watch that game, I feel comfortable saying Clemson's a better team than Duke. If they were playing this weekend, I would bet a lot of money on the Clemson money line, depending on what the spread was. I'd still take Clemson money line. They still have a ton of talent, very good coaching, you know, new offensive coordinator, essentially a new quarterback, trying to figure things out. This is a good spot to catch Clemson in, I think, because I think later in the season, they could be a much tougher out. And if you take care of business this weekend, you might get to avoid them in Charlotte, which would be huge for Florida State, who has aspirations to make the college football playoff. Yeah, I just don't know what Clemson is because, you know, the Duke game happened, and then they played Charleston Southern and FAU, two really bad teams. So I don't know. And I think a lot of people are putting a lot of stock on this Boston College game that just happened. I think that's the anomaly. I don't think that's what Florida State is. This game is so hard to diagnose so early in the season. We're so used to this game being a late October, early November game in years past. But we get why the ACC chose to make it a September game, because they expected a rematch. This might be Florida State Miami all over again when the conference expanded originally. That's what they expect every year. They may not get the rematch, especially if Florida State wins this weekend.
Yeah, how funny would that be, right? Like, you're exactly right. It would be a mirror image of what Florida State and Miami has been for the last 2006. Is that right?
2005, yeah.
2005, yeah. 18 years. Yeah, you seriously put a – certainly not that it would be over for Clemson, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves with this, but yeah, you've got a chance to really put a dent in their – chances of getting to Charlotte, right? There's a long way to go. There's a lot to be played. But you got to think it's going to, you know, a team like, you know, North Carolina might finish with one loss. A team like Miami might finish with one loss. You know, like you look at Miami and North Carolina, and what Clemson would need to do is they would need to, maybe a team like Louisville might finish with one loss, you know? And so there's a lot out there. Now, Clemson could run the table and they could beat everybody else, but then they also are going to need that tiebreaker, right? And in some scenarios, maybe with Duke. Does Duke, how many losses does Duke pick up? So it really is going to be, and a lot of these teams play each other. Duke plays Miami. Miami plays North Carolina. Miami plays Clemson. I think it's going to be pretty tough for Miami to get into it just because I think they're going to have to go 3-0 against those teams, or, you know, 2-1 and hope for some tiebreaker stuff. But, yeah, if you're Florida State, I think what this game means is you're almost putting yourself in Charlotte, right? Weird things could happen. You could lose games down the stretch without a doubt. But you're getting really close to putting yourself into Charlotte by being, first of all, 2-0 in the conference, and second of all, taking out the everybody's preseason pick to win it, right? I mean, it was close between Florida State and Clemson, but you're essentially taking out the slight favorite in Clemson. You're a favorite in this game. You're going to be a favorite in every game that you play after this, including Charlotte. The next time I think Florida State's not going to be a favorite, minus any kind of crazy injury happenings, would probably be the playoff or a New Year's Six Bowl, which at that point, you know, who cares, right? You go out and play and see what happens. But Florida State's going to be favored in every game they play going forward. I mean, they're going to be a favorite against Miami at home, Duke at home, obviously. I don't care what Florida does between now and then. They're going to be a favorite going into the Swamp. They're going to be a favorite on the road at Pitt. And so at this point, I mean, it's, you know, you hate to put so much emphasis on one game because Florida State could certainly lose this and bounce back. But, man, if they win this one, they are so much in the driver's seat. I can remember preseason, Richie, we were saying, man, just find a way to split. Like, don't go 2-2. Do not come out of this weekend. Do not come out of this month, out of September, with nothing to play for. And not that you wouldn't have anything to play for, because if you win the next 8 games and you go 12-2 and or 10-2 and you win the ACC and then win the New Year's Six, that's still a great year. But just don't split coming out of this one. Well, I think, Richie, the mood has changed from don't split to, like, how – it's not a must-win for anyone's job. It's not a must – but how close to it do you feel like, just because of expectations, because of what we've seen out of Clemson, because of the fact that you're a favorite on the road, like, could you almost call it a must – it's not – like, nobody's getting fired after this game. Now, you still have a lot to play for. You win out after you lose this game. You're still in the playoff. But how close to a must-win is this thing?
I don't think it's a must-win because it's one of those really nice to win games, because if you end up winning Saturday at Clemson, you know, by 4:00, first of all, you're going to be stress-free, relaxing, watching a hell of a lot of really good football games the rest of the day. That's going to be awesome. I would hate for this game to put a damper on the rest of an amazing college football Saturday. But yeah, you win this game, you're 4-0 a third of the way through your season. You have a bye, then you host a very bad Virginia Tech team, and then you host a pretty good Duke team, but one you should beat. Man, this everything is lining up perfectly, and it all comes down to this Saturday. So it's not a must win, but I'll put it this way. If we lose Saturday, I will feel much, much, much less confident about our playoff chances than I do tonight. And, you know, it'll go on that. And, you know, shout out some of these super chats, TJ.
Yeah, let's roll with them, Harlan. All right, John said,
fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win. Knowles win.
Yeah, I need to hear Jeff Colhane say that on Saturday. Yes. So thank you, John, for the love. Thinking about Saturday afternoon, we either are relaxing for literally a few weeks stress-free and celebrating or looking back and panicking, but if you said we'd be 3-1 or 4-0 a month ago, we'd be ecstatic. Yeah, and that's a good perspective to have. I want to say that. I don't mean to give away the spoiler. Hopefully you guys aren't tuned in for just my prediction, because I'm an idiot and I never get close on these. But I'm going to pick the Noles to win at the end of the show. So stay tuned to see what that number is. But this is not like some kind of a, oh man, TJ thinks we're going to lose, so he's already like playing the moral victory card. I think Josh Pate talks about this a lot, in that you have expectations for the season, and we all would have said, like, hey, go 3-1. Go. You're going to be an underdog against Clemson. I mean, you're a slight favorite now, but you're going to be an under. You're going up on the road in Death Valley Place. You haven't won since Jameis was on the sideline. You're not going to go for, you're probably not going 4-0. And so if your expectation in August was to go 3-1 and we go 3-1, you can't turn around and say, oh, this team's lost it. This team doesn't have it. Screw this team. No, they've got a bye week coming up and then 8 games that they're going to be favorites in from there. And I think we'll judge this team on the next 8 games and then what they do in Charlotte, because I still think they'll make it there. Now, things get kind of weird if some different wins, losses, and different things happen on tiebreakers. But if you win the next 8 after you lose to Clemson, that's fine. Again, not trying to moral victory it, but I don't think it's fair to the team to say, hey, I'd be happy with all summer. You've basically said I'd be happy with 3-1, and then you get to this week and you end up 3-1 because you lose a close game in Death Valley. I know that this fan base is going to melt down because I know you guys very well, but it's just not fair to the team with so much time left, with so many inferior opponents that you're going to play the rest of the way. All that said, I've got us winning. That's not like me trying to like play reverse psychology and, oh man, if we happen to, no, but if we lose, I mean, that's, you know, we lost, man. We move on. We keep going. So, but I think we're winning. All right, Shane, you're up. That's a great point though, John.
Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Yeah, Boston College 2023 was kind of like 2012 NC State, but this time we win. We need to draw the Tar Heels. That's a more favorable game for us. Yeah, I agree. You also look at 2013 Boston College, right? A team that won a national championship, and you went up there and struggled with them. Now, I don't know if it was ever, this game was never in doubt. That game was never in doubt. It got closer in this game than that BC game did, but you were kind of having to fight for your life in that first half, and then BC made it close late. And then I think, you know, the NC State game is a great comparison. You had to hold on for dear life. NC State converted on a 4th and 10, right? And so if they don't convert on that 4th and 10, both games kind of end the same way. You hold on just by the skin of your teeth, and you end up finding a way to win in Raleigh. Now, that didn't happen, and I know our guy Hunter in here is super happy about that. But it is very similar, and the team did rebound from that very, very well. They went on to have a very successful season. And I think if EJ Manuel doesn't get concussed in the Florida game at the end of the year, you probably win that one too. So, I like that, Shane. I appreciate the love. Appreciate the super chat. Let me roll through here and see if anybody else has sent one. And if not, we'll keep rolling. So, all right. Richie, on Clemson specifically, let me pull up our notes here and make sure that I kind of stay on subject a little bit so that we're not on here all night. So we talked about the loss against Duke where they really beat themselves. I mean, they outgained them. I think they had more first downs than Duke had points. If not at the final score, at the end of the game, they certainly did. And so lose to that Duke game, still very talented. Everything went wrong. You put this in, and I want to talk about it for just a minute. Anything to take away from their games against Charleston Southern or FAU? They won both of those games really, really big. And I was listening to a couple of things today, and so I went and rewatched those games on the condensed games, because you can watch them in like 15 minutes if you turn the speed up on YouTube, and that is absolutely the best way to consume college football. And they were very much the beneficiary, at least in the FAU game. I didn't really go deep into the Charleston Southern one because I just don't know how much you can take from that. But in the FAU game, like I know they won by a lot, but like they just are so much worse. FAU is so much worse than Clemson that I don't really think that Clemson's like figured it all out because they beat FAU. Kind of the same way you saw Florida State struggle after Southern Miss is kind of what, like, Southern Miss, I mean, even though Southern Miss isn't good, like, you're just so much better. And I think that's kind of the way that Clemson dominated FAU. So I think my biggest two takeaways, or my biggest takeaway from them, is that we really just don't know. We just haven't seen them put it together yet. I still think they have some massive deficiencies at wide receiver. I think their defensive line is not as good as it has been in the past. And I think their quarterback is getting more comfortable, but I just don't think Klubnik is super comfortable yet. And so, again, I think they have a lot of questions that need to be answered, and I don't necessarily know that those have been answered yet against Charleston Southern, against FAU. Not that they really even would have if they had played perfect games, but I don't think they played super well in those games outside of just being so much more talented than those two teams. Richie, any thoughts there?
Yeah, Charleston Southern, I take nothing away from. It was a slow start. It was intriguing the first quarter, just watching, follow along the ESPN app. FAU, this is a school that fired Willie Taggart a year ago. Come on. What are we even talking about here? This FAU team is really bad. I believe Clemson had a pick six. They took over inside FAU's 20, you know, on another drive. It was just never a game. And again, I think Clemson was a lot better against Duke than the score suggests. I have no idea what to think about this Clemson team. Who really knows? I'm not a believer in Cade Klubnik yet. He was all world coming out of high school. You know, he was the next big thing, next big quarterback to come out of Texas. But what has he done in college? You know, he had a really nice ACC championship game against North Carolina a year ago, but then, you know, just crapped the bed against Tennessee in the Orange Bowl in what was the biggest stage. He didn't do much against South Carolina in a rivalry game. I don't know. I don't know what to think of this Clemson team yet. This is going to be very interesting. I'll say this, and, you know, I trust this Florida State team more than I trust this Clemson team and their offense. I think Clemson's defense is amazing, and they're going to get stopped, but I don't trust that Clemson offense at all. I'm going to need Adam Fuller to kind of step his game up from last week. But yeah, I think this is a very talented Clemson team. But look, their wide receiver room isn't what it used to be, right? There's no Mike Williams coming out there. There's no, you know, Sammy Watkins. You know, it's just not there. They don't have a true number one. I don't think Florida State has what would be a number one on almost any team in the country outside of maybe four or five teams with Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman. They have multiple of those guys. So it's just hard to tell because, like I said earlier, we're used to playing Clemson late October, early November, when at that point we have a really good idea of what these teams are. You know, this is the first month of the season. We don't know what these teams are. We have a better idea of what Florida State is just because of who they brought back. Clemson's a much newer, new offensive coordinator. You know, there's Dabo's comment like, no, this is not his offense. This is the Clemson offense. Okay, man, you really want to ride that train. We'll see what happens.
So thoughts on this, Richie? You talked about their defense, and, you know, it is going to, I think, be the best secondary that Florida State plays. I do think Clemson's D-line is still really good. I don't think it's as good as it has been in the past. They have a good linebacking core too. And so they're pretty solid. Like, they're, you know, I'm not trying to crap on their
defense. Very good defense.
Best secondary I think you're going to see all year. I don't really think there's a question about that. They're a secondary that's definitely better than LSU's. But you did a good job of giving Jordan time in the LSU game. And if you can do that again here, I think you'll set themselves up. You'll set yourself up really well to put your playmakers in really good positions. And though that secondary is really good, it all comes down to time that Jordan gets. It also comes down to Jordan. I mean, if we're just being honest here, and I love Jordan, he's probably like, I don't know, I never saw Charlie play live, so it's hard for me to like put him in my top of anything. But yeah, he's probably one of my top three quarterbacks I've ever had at FSU. Like, you know, it's Jameis and Winky, and then I think Jordan's right there. But I think I can be fair with some criticism. It seems like he's trying to make the spectacular play at times. I don't know if it's a Heisman thing that's in his mind or if he's just like, man, we gotta, you know, offense built for playmakers, man. We just gotta go. I don't know what it is, but there have been times where I feel like Jordan had some pretty open check down stuff that would have gone for like 7, 8, 10, 12 yards and, you know, tried to make the 25-yard throw. And so, I don't know. Hopefully that – I'm actually glad that happened against BC and we kind of got burned on it a couple of times because that's something that can be coached pretty well. Like, hey, you can take the check downs. You know, like our playmakers work really, really well. But, you know, as good as their defense is, as good as our offense is, do you have a lean on – who has a slight edge there?
Yeah, I think George just needs to play smart. You know, I mentioned on Sunday, one of the plays that really freshened me against Boston College was the third down when he had Toa Fili in the flats for an easy first down. And he goes to the next level and it's incomplete. And, you know, those are the plays you got to take. You know, they're the saying, you know, you can't go broke if you're taking a profit. And that's what Jordan has to live by this week. And if he does, Florida State's going to win this football game. I don't have any doubt about that. This is, again, a great matchup. Clemson's interior defensive line specifically is very good. Florida State's offensive line is solid, slightly above average, but they're not going to, you know, they're not maulers that are going to just push defensive lines off the ball, especially not this defensive line. But they're definitely good enough to do what it takes to win this game. spoiler alert, LSU's defensive line is better than Clemson's, and Florida State held up just fine against them. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamics. I feel like the first quarter and a half, they're going to be feeling each other out a little bit. But if Florida State can hit a big play or two and get an early lead, I don't trust this Clemson offense to play from behind, especially Cade Kublik, because he's not proven he can play from behind and win a game, especially like this. Who knows? Maybe next year he might be in the Heisman conversation as a junior, but he's not there right now. He's just not. And I just think early game, Florida State has not started a game like they wanted to all season. They were okay against LSU, I guess, considering this was the first game against a very, very talented team who just went on the road, by the way, and destroyed Mississippi State at their place. So let's not forget about that. But they were kind of slow to start against Southern Miss, and obviously very slow to start against Boston College. But this offense has showed when it clicks, man, they are dangerous. They might be the most dangerous offense in the country. And if that clicks early for Florida State, it's blouses for Clemson at that point. They don't have a chance because their offense is not built to get into a track meet. And if I'm Mike Norvell, that's exactly what I want. Let's run some tempo, be successful on first down, and put them in a track meet because they're not going to be able to keep up with Florida State at that point, TJ.
Yeah, I really like the Noles if this thing is played in the 60s. You know, over-under is like 55-ish. If it gets above that, if this is a 30-plus game, I mean, I know that you guys are – we'll talk about FSU's defense here in a minute. I know you guys are worried about the defense with how they played at times last week, and I totally get that. I don't think there's any way to defend some of the way that the defense played. But I like Florida State's defense to get enough stops against the Clemson offense that's been pretty underwhelming so far. My guy Michael Harris just hit us up on Venmo.
Put a smile on your face. Okay, because Florida State, if we going to do it then, we do it big. Let's go, baby.
He's our new leader, so if anybody wants to jump up there and take that spot from him, you're more than welcome to try. I'm just not going to tell you what he donated so that you have to just blindly guess that. No, I'm just kidding. He put a 20 spot on Venmo. So shout out Mike Harris. Appreciate you for the love, my guy. Can't wait to see you up there in Tallahassee for, I don't know, definitely Miami. We'll see on Virginia Tech. We'll see how things go over the next little bit. All right, Richie, we were talking about Florida State's defense. Let's just get right into it. They were fine at times. They were not very good at other times. I broke this down in a video this week. But for 43 minutes of the game, Florida State's defense gave up 10 points. That was the first, 35 minutes in the last 5, 6, 7 minutes. And then in the middle, there was a 17-minute stretch where we gave up 19 points. I will say some of that was on the offense because there was a fumble 6, so I'll take a little bit away from them. But we had a really – I thought, you know, they drove on us a couple of times, some long drives. But ultimately, the defense gave up, 22 points? It's a little more than you really should give up to Boston College. It's probably two more scores than you should have allowed them to have. I think their over-under was like 12.5. And so if you'd have given up 14, maybe 17, that's fine. But I think you probably allowed them to score two more times than Vegas was even expecting them to do. Even if you take away the fumble 6, which obviously we won't put on the defense. So, the defense is going to, people hate this and, you know, I get it. I understand, but I'm not defending anyone here, but I think with the new rules around college football and just the way that college football works these days, like you're not like, there are no lockdown defenses out there, you know, like that's just not what happens. You know, Florida State gave up, minus the fumble 6, Florida State gave up 22 points to Boston College, and Georgia gave up, 17 to South Carolina, you know, or 14, whatever the number, you know, like it just, you wouldn't expect either one of those, right? In Alabama, you know, so anyway, but I think this defense is going to play bend, don't break. You're going to have long drives, and then you're going to try and have them bow up in the red zone, which they did very well against LSU. But, you know, I think that this is probably one of the worst Clemson offenses we've seen in a long time, but how much does Florida State's defense worry you right now?
So here's the way I'm looking at it. Clemson, they want to run the ball. That is what their MO is. And teams traditionally have not had success running the ball against Florida State this year through a limited sample set, right? You know, obviously Boston College ran for a ton of yards, but that was, you know, basically Malik Cunningham, you know, one step below Lamar Jackson running all over the place. That guy is a freak athlete. Florida State recruited him to play receiver or H-back, or not H-back, but in the slot or defensive back. He is a freak athlete right at the top with Jaden Daniels as far as the quarterback should have faced from opponents, strictly from athleticism standpoints. That's a big deal. Cade Klubnik can run the ball, but not like that, man. And they want to get the ball to Will Shipley and Phil Mafa. That's a big Mafa, by the way, 6'1", 230.
That's terrible, bro.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes because I trust our defensive line. Our linebackers, I'd want to see more out of them. But from the running aspect of defense, I like them, right? I need to see more in coverage. But if Clemson thinks they're just going to come up and run the ball, I think, you know, Riley's calling it the dirt and pound or something silly like that. No, the dirt raid as opposed to the air raid. I don't think if Clemson's plan is to come up and just line up and run the ball against Florida State, they're not going to have any success. They'll have some, but they won't have much. And I like Florida State's chances at that point. So it's going to be interesting. And I just really like, I don't think Florida State's defense has been as bad as people think. Florida State was up 31-10 against Boston College. If they don't give up a 3rd-and-17, you know, Boston College mails it in, and then both teams are just running the ball to run the clock out at that point because Florida State probably scores, whether it be a field goal to make it 41-10 or a touchdown to make it 34-10 or a touchdown to make it 38-10. You know, the game's over, but they got, you know, the fumble with the touchdown. They got the kickoff, the squib slash onside craziness that they recovered. You know, it all happened so quickly. But yeah, Florida State's run defense has been solid, and running backs have not been able to traditionally run the ball against Florida State this year. Now, I will say Will Shipley is a beast of a man. He does not fear any man. He will put his shoulders down, and he will turn a two-yard loss into a two-yard gain every single time. But if Florida State's rush defense is what it is the first three games, Clemson's going to have to throw the ball, and I don't trust Cade Klubnik if that's the case.
So what I do want to see is I want to see a little bit better effort out of our defensive line. To me, it looked like some of the guys on the line on Saturday were very much let me back up just a little bit. I spoke with some people, and it seemed like after chatting with a couple of people that there was a – I don't know if it was a lack of focus. I don't know if it was just, hey, this is a bad team. I can go put some highlights out there, and I'm not going to call anyone out specifically, but there were some guys on the defensive line that were kind of just, we'll say, you know, what's it called? Dancing to the beat of their own drum, but not like in a good way, right? Like you need to, you know, you need to do what's assigned, you know, on the play. And so that needs to improve. I know there's rumors and there's, you know, talk about sickness and stamina and everything else. If there was any sickness, I kind of understand it, but it looked like BC was blowing us off the ball a little bit. That's something that can happen. That's something that has to improve because offensive line wise, Clemson has a better offensive line than BC does. So I'm hoping that's the case, but there were times where our defensive line was getting pushed backwards, and that just cannot be the case against Clemson. I mean, it can't be the case against Boston College, let alone Clemson. So I think that's really important to look for. I think that's really important to kind of monitor is what do they play like. What about this? Okay, let's talk about this, and then we'll do prize picks, and we'll get out of here. We won't stay too super long. So if you want to go beat Michael Harris, you got to put up a 20 spot on the bottom, and we'll put your name up top. But talk to me about this kicker story, Richie. Catch everybody up on that.
Yeah, so obviously, Clemson's kicking situation has not been good at all. I'll just read this a quick synopsis from Clemson 247. Obviously, the 247 network does a great job. They don't pay us, but we like to recognize great journalism when we see it. You know, redshirt freshman Robert Gunn missed two field goals against Duke in the season opener and then missed a field goal and an extra point against Florida Atlantic. So clearly, Dabo knows this, you know, the spreads is what it is. Vegas doesn't miss very often. This is going to be potentially a field goal game. So what do? Dabo Swinney Sunday picks up the phone and calls former walk-on kicker Jonathan Weitz, who is currently in graduate school online, living in Charleston, South Carolina. Great city, by the way. Lived there for 2 years. Everybody go visit. And said, hey, you want to come kick for us? And, you know, he's getting his master's degree virtually right now at Clemson. He was set to move to New York City in like 2 weeks. And he put that whole plan on hold, drives up to Clemson works out, says, yeah, I can do this. And now Dabo Swinney is going to start this man just for kicks. You know, this weekend against Florida State, the freshman kicker is still going to handle kickoff duties. But when it comes to any kick inside 50, Dabo says he's going to use this guy, Whites, who, again, was in Charleston living his dream, playing golf, going to the beach, doing nothing. And then Dabo Swinney calls him on a random Saturday night and says, hey, Florida State's coming to town. I need a reliable kicker. Again, a former preferred walk-on. Just a crazy story. Almost like Kurt Warner being called off the grocery line for the St. Louis Rams back in the day.
Go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but, you know, with that, shout out Ryan Fitzpatrick, man. He has been phenomenal for Florida State. You have not heard his name much from us.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Fitzgerald. Excuse me. You've not heard his name much from us or from the staff or from other media. And that's a good thing, guys, because we heard his name often and often and often the past few years for all the wrong reasons. The fact that you've not heard his name is because he's been perfect, right? He's not missed an extra point. Maybe one field goal, or it might be perfect from field goals. It's just incredible. And Dabo understands, listen, Clemson is backed into a corner. This is why I think they're dangerous. Both Florida State and Clemson entered the season with a mulligan. Well, Clemson used their mulligan week one against Duke. Florida State still has theirs. I think that's why Florida State can play a little more carefree this week. But Clemson, if you put the pressure on them, if you jump out to an early lead, they could crumble. They really could. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But this kicker situation is just wild, TJ. Had you heard that before I put it in those show notes?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it yesterday and I was just like, wait a minute. I thought it was like a troll, like one of those troll things, like The Onion or something. Did it? Babylon Bee or whatever. Yeah, but that's pretty wild for sure. But I mean, hey, shout out to that kid, man. Like, I mean, obviously I hope he misses a game winning field goal and we win, but like, whatever, like, you know, it's probably going to end up being a great story for them. And I'm going to be sick after saying that, but yeah, shout out to Fitzgerald. There was a lot of people had a lot to say about him and, you know, that's my boy. So I didn't say anything, but I might've thought some of it. So Ryan, don't kill me. But he really has delivered this year. And I know the meltdown's coming because I don't expect him to go, you know, Aguayo for the season. So I know there's going to be a time where, you know, he misses a kick at some point. But he's been really, really sharp this year. And he's kind of reinvented himself. I saw a nice little Battles In deal announced today with him. And so big shout out to Ryan. Speaking of the Battles In, we got over 200 people in here watching. I hope that all 200 of you are signed up for the Battles In. Richie, is that their quarter zip or what, you know, what is that there?
It is the official Battles In quarter zip.
That thing's the sharpest thing they got on the website.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The second I saw it, I knew I had to buy it, and I may only get to play like 4 rounds of golf a year with this thing, but all 4 rounds of golf, I'm going to look extremely fly wearing this exact hat from the Seminole Legacy Golf Club and this Battles End quarter zip.
Dude, it's way too hot for this. It is going to be nice weather up at Clemson. So again, if you're in here and you haven't got your tailgate tickets, go do that right now and then come back for the rest of the show. But I've been slacking. I don't have that yet. Ingram Smith, you can call me out. This is on me, but like I'm wearing that for the fall, like the games late in the year. So Miami, you know, North Alabama, Florida, like that's going to be my November. It's way too hot for that right now.
Florida State logo on the side there. It's the details. It's the details that you cannot beat it. And all the proceeds go to funding this football roster, guys. So we cannot stress that enough.
Yeah, that thing is ridiculous. I've been slacking. I'm getting it this week. So I'm actually flying through Atlanta. So maybe I'll go by the Battles In headquarters while I'm up there on Friday. So yeah, I need one of those bad. So, but again, all jokes aside, if you like FSU football, this is what I always say, if you support our show, if you're part of our Patreon, if you're in our Discord, if you're watching two idiots on a Wednesday night, you know, Richie drinking probably Chardonnay and me on the, you know, cheap beer or whatever, you should be signed up for the Battles End, and you should be supporting not only the Battles End, but our boosters, because it gives back and it helps our kids and it helps us compete at a championship level. So all jokes aside, make sure that you're supporting there. All right, Prize Picks. Richie, one day we're going to go through and we're going to total these up and see like who's actually winning. I'm afraid to do it because I know that it's not going to be me. And so that's why I'm just waiting for Harlan to go do it. But Prize Picks is a daily fantasy game where you select entries on player projections. We've got some official ones tonight, guys. We haven't had a big enough matchup, or we did it a little too early, I guess, against LSU. But this weekend, Jordan Travis is projected at 249.5 yards passing. He's projected at 32.5 yards rushing. You can take the more or less on both of those. You can pair them together, and boom, goes the dynamite. You can go win money. Prize Picks is the best way to get in on action in states like Florida, California, Texas, Georgia, and a bunch more. I think it's like 90% of the U.S., 70% of the U.S. that you can get in on. Use code DFNS when you sign up. That's DFNS, Double Fries, No Slaw. You'll get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Go check that out. Prize Picks, fun app. We'll see if we can make you some money tonight. We'll go over some of these picks. All right, some of these are the official picks. Harlan, I don't know if you can you keep track of these while we go through them. We don't have to do every single one of them. Actually, no, let's do it. Let's do the unofficial ones. No, let's just do the official ones. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go rapid fire. Let's go rapid fire all the way down. No explanation. Just rapid fire them. Jordan Travis passing yards, 249.5.
Over.
I got over as well. Harlan, do you want to do the – or you can – Harlan, you can keep yours off screen. I trust you. Don't be cheating, though, Harlan. All right, you just keep yours then. Harlan said he can't do it, so he's going to keep his, though, on the side. So, all right, Cade Klubnik, 227.5 passing yards, more or less.
Under.
All right, more – you got to say more or less. Don't get us in trouble.
Or less, yes.
I will go – I'll go more here, but I still got us winning, so I'll go more. I think that he gets. I want you to be right there, Richie. I hope you get the. You're just better at me than this, so I just figure if I pick the wrong thing, I'd rather win on the field than this stupid game. All right, Jordan Travis, 32.5 rushing. I'll go more on that as well.
I'll go less. I think he has more than that rushing yards, but I think he probably gets a one or two sacks that total, 18-19 yards. And college has this stupid, statistics rule that, the sacks come off of rushing yards, not passing yards. So for that reason, I'm going to go less.
Okay. Cade Klubnik, 32.5 rushing yards. I'll go less there.
Less, agree.
Okay. Here's an interesting one. A lot of the fan base has been all over this guy. Trey Benson, 57.5 rushing yards.
Less, make that Rodney Hill and I'll take the over.
Ooh. I'll go less, but I'm not one of these people that's like on Trey Benson's case. I remember every one of the people in this fan base had a problem with that take. I think Trey is going to get it going. I just think we spread the ball out a ton. I'd probably take any running backs less than against this Clemson front seven. So
yeah.
Less for me. Shipley, 70.5 rushing yards.
Over.
Yeah, I like the more there as well. Quit saying over, bro. You're going to get us fired. Okay, here's a good one. I think this one's the easiest one of the whole thing. Shipley's receiving yards, 19.5.
You go first on this one.
I got more.
I'm going to go less.
That's one wheel route to me, man. Like, that's one, like, he gets matched up on Lundy one time, and he's 60 yards.
You talking about pick six Lundy, the guy who just gets interceptions and then goes in for the end zone?
Yeah, that was not a shot at Lundy, but Shipley's got some speed, man. Like, I don't
know.
Prove me wrong, DJ. All right. Here's a good one. Johnny Wilson, 75.5 receiving yards.
I'll say less here.
I'll go less as well. They've got a wide receiver, Collins, 62.5. I'm going less.
Less. Every Clemson receiver, less.
Keon, 64.5. I've got him going more.
More. It's a Keon redemption game, baby.
Yeah. Antonio Williams, another wide receiver for them, 49.5. I'll go less.
I'll go more just because they're going to get one big pass play, so why not be him?
And then touchdowns for Johnny and Keon are both at 0.5. And here's what I'm going to do. I got more for both. I'm going both of them score a touchdown this weekend.
No, I will say more for Keon, less for Johnny. I do think Johnny has a significant role in this game, but I think Keon, say what you want. We're not even going to go there, but I think they're going to feed Keon the ball this week as he deserves to be fed after what he did against LSU. Keon's finding the end zone this week. Johnny is going to have a big week, 8,200 yards. He might find the end zone. He might have a Kelvin Benjamin, you know, jumping, twisting in the corner or at the pylon like Kelvin did back in 2013. But I'll say less for Johnny, but more for Keon.
Yeah, I'm going to go. They both score a touchdown. I think we score a lot this game. And I think in the red zone, he's too big of a matchup problem. Yeah. And I think they go to Johnny and Keon in the red zone. I'm a little disappointed. Okay, that wraps up our Prize Picks segment. Again, go sign up for the Prize Picks app, DFNS, when you do sign up for it. You get 100% deposit match. Listen, DaVinci, I'm about to answer that question. But listen, I need you guys to go sign up for that Prize Picks app. If you haven't already, I don't know what you're waiting on. I wish I had a Jalen Ramsey. You know, if you're not signed up for Prize Picks app under Double Fries No Slaw, what are you waiting for? It's only new accounts. So if you have to use a different email, go get the deposit match and use it for us. So appreciate the 200 of you that are going to sign up for that right now. How many beers can I drink tailgating this weekend? A case or less. For a noon kick, bro, we're going less. 8 p.m., I might have you, but a noon kick, man. I got about 3 hours in me from 8:30 to 11:30. I'm a less on that one. So, okay, Prize Picks letting me down, Richie. I was going to take the more on everything Jaheim Bell had. It could have been 400 yards. I'd have taken more. Jaheim Bell, more. Frustrating that they didn't have him on there at all. Maybe they will closer to we get to Saturday. But
and shout out Jaheim Bell because, you know, Clemson has, unfortunately, a 7-game win streak on Florida State. Jaheim Bell is the only player on the roster who has defeated Clemson in his collegiate career, and that was last year at South Carolina. So I'm looking forward to it. Jaheim Bell, give him the sledgehammer walking off the bus because he knows what it takes to beat this team. And we'll get to predictions soon enough. I'm not getting ahead of myself. You kind of did already, TJ. But let Jaheim Bell walk off the bus with that sledgehammer. That's all I'm saying.
I like that. I was going to make that point. So thanks for stealing my thunder. But Jaheim Bell, the only Seminole on this team that knows what it's like to beat Clemson. But the good news is every one of his teammates is going to feel like the same way after this. So possibly. they just won't know what it's like to beat him
possibly.
Twice. All right. Any final thoughts? We'll do score predictions and we'll get out of here. Again, Michael Harris, our winner down there so far. If anybody wants to go take his spot, go after it and get after it. But, Richie, some closing thoughts, and then we'll do some predictions, and we will roll.
When's the last time we were this excited for the fourth game of a Florida State football season? Rankings be damned. Clemson is not an unranked team. They are one of the top at least 20 best teams in the country. They really are. This is a huge game for Florida State. I cannot wait to, you know, get to watch this game Saturday at noon. And again, old man here, I love that it's a noon kick, especially since it's on the road. If it was in Doak, I'd prefer the 8 o'clock. I would sacrifice my sleep schedule and say, no big deal. I'll stay up. Cause that crowd at Doak's will be rocking, but you know what? That crowd at Death Valley's not going to be rocking. It'll be solid. It always is. I've been there for noon games. I've been there for 8 o'clock games. It's always solid, but it's a different animal. I cannot wait. It is a game that, you know, we dreamed about going 4-0, and that's what it was. It was a dream when realistically we're like, get to 3-1 out of September into the bye, and we're in good position. Man, you're telling me 4-0 is on the line and we're favored? This is not what any of us expected heading into the season. Any rational Florida State fan expected heading into the season that we would dog walk LSU in the fourth quarter at Camping World, barely show up and beat Ole Miss or Southern Miss by whatever he wanted to. The BC game was concerning, but again, we talked about it. Go listen to our show from Sunday night. So many intangibles that you just have to throw that out. This is where it's at. And I cannot wait, TJ. What about you?
Harlan, let me get your score prediction too. Guys, I want to see yours. Thank you, KH. I want to see everybody else's score predictions too. So do me a favor, hit the comments right now and let me know what you guys got. Let me know what you guys got for a score prediction. Yeah, I mean, you look at last year, right? Richie talked about, you know, the fourth game of the season in September. I mean, last year you were 3-0, but you were worried about a lot of health. You were worried about, you know, Jordan Travis. You were worried about Tatum Bethune. You were worried about, you know, Jared Verse and others. That Boston College game was lit, but man, it ain't gonna be nothing like this one. And I agree. If they can find a way, Harlan, you son of a gun. If they can find a way to get up early. Richie talked about quick starts. If they can find a way to get up early and really take that crowd out of it, man, I think that's going to be huge. And I think that, you know, Josh Pate talked about this when I watched his breakdown, but Clemson fans are already nervous and they're already worried and they already I've seen so many of them today. I've been talking a lot of crap. I've seen so many of them in my mentions that are just saying like, yeah, we know we're going to lose, but we got you the last 7 years. Like, they are not confident in this game. We've kind of gone away from having a beat writer on every week, but I'm just telling you, if we would have had a Clemson person on, they'd have said, like, yeah, the fan base does not feel good about it. But Florida State still has to come out and do what they need to do. They certainly cannot let a team that they are better than stick around. They've got to go out and perform. But I mean, I think they do. I think they get up early. I would not surprise me if this is like 14-3 at the end of the first quarter, or, you know, 21-10 at halftime. And then they've got to lean on their running game and they've got to continue to salt this thing away. Use the new clock rules to your advantage. Take the checkdowns when they're there. Don't be a hero, JT. I mean, we know you can be. We watched Florida last year. We understand that that's part of your repertoire, but go out and make the little plays, execute well, don't turn the ball over. Dabo's already saying if they don't win the turnover battle, Clemson's not going to win this game. I'd agree with that. I think on paper, both these teams are what they are. I think Florida State's the better team, and everyone knows that. So don't give them a chance with turnovers. Don't give them a chance with stupid mistakes. Don't line up in the neutral zone on a 4th-and-4 like you did last week. Don't screw up an onside kick or a pooch kick or whatever. And I have confidence that they're going to do that. I have confidence that they're going to find a way to win. Give me something like Florida State 41, Clemson 24. I think they win this going away. I think that you maybe have a late touchdown there to really seal it. I got Fitzgerald making both of his field goals in this game, and obviously every single extra point. But 41-24, the Noles, it's maybe in doubt for a quarter, but then I think the Noles pull away. I don't think Clemson quits. I just don't think they're good enough. Like, I don't think LSU quit. I just don't think they're good enough. And so last week was a look ahead. Last week was just a culmination of things kind of going wrong all at the same time. The Noles beat the crap out of the Tigers, and we come back 4-0.
Wish I was as confident as you, TJ, but I'm not. I think Florida State matches up well. I like Florida State's offense against Clemson's defense. I like Clemson's defense against Florida State's offense. But I like Florida State's offense more out of any of the units there. And I think special teams will end up being close to a wash, or will it? I think Florida State wins this game 31-28. And the reason being that Jonathan White's The Disney Story misses a 38-yard field goal that would have sent the game to overtime as time expires. And the Noles rush the field, meet at the paw. Noles win 4-0, headed to the bye week, bring on Virginia Tech. Let's go.
Yeah, I like my score better. I'll probably have a little. I mean, I'm already losing a lot of this, but I'd like to keep as much of it as I can. Harlan's got Clemson 35-31. He picked LSU, so looks like he's staying on that train. So, listen, I appreciate you guys a ton for all the support. Make sure that you sign up for the Prize Picks app. Also, you need to make sure that you're shopping at both Garnet and Gold and Gramco. Big supporters of the show. We'll give them more love in other videos this week and next. Appreciate all of you for your support. Thank you guys for everything that you guys do for us. Make sure that you're out of the tailgate on Saturday. Hit us up on social media. We appreciate you guys. We love you. Go Noles.